Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 41 of the genericgamingpodcast.mp3, the show where we talk about video games every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host slash sound engineer, Eric Krause. Eric, how's it going?
Good.
You kind of threw me off there. You said, we're live. I wasn't ready.
Usually I give you a countdown, but I already started clicking the buttons, so I figured we'll just go live right away.
You know? I guess. Whatever works, you know?
Yeah.
All right. You know what, Eric? We have a great show today planned. We have a go. God, it's been such a long day.
Yeah.
We have a great show for you today. But before that, if you enjoy this show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or you think maybe one day you'll enjoy this show, please go rate us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you're listening to. Or follow us on twitch.tv/lateforembargo, where you can watch live and be a part of the conversation.
Just like Cardboard Cutouts is. Hello, Cardboard Cutouts.
Cardboard, shout out, dude. What a G that guy
is. Yeah, he's at a tournament right now, assuming a Smash Melee tournament, and he's even decided to stop by. Thanks for the love, Cardboard.
Cardboard, we love you very much. Eric, the game of the show this time is actually not one game. We're talking about every game released in 2019 so far.
Yeah.
And we are going to determine which is the game of the year. So far, if this, mm-hmm. you know, if the year ended on July 24th, 2019, what would be the game of the year? And so
Super Mario Maker 2.
Well, you spoiled it. But I put together a list of kind of all of the notable releases, I'll call them. Would like to go one by one and kind of talk about each one of them, how you feel about it, if you've played it, if you want to play it before the year is over, and if you think it has a realistic chance of being on a game of the year list, like a big one. We're talking IGN game, you know, game awards, you know,
the big ones. What's the other one?
The dice awards
is that one.
That's kind of the big,
the big three.
Three,
yeah.
Or you know, okay, I mean, I'll extend it to like the big outlets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That kind of stuff.
Kotaku's, GameSpot. Got it.
Us.
Yeah, we're a big outlet.
Yeah, we're a huge outlet.
All right. Also, you want to pull your mic a little bit closer?
Yeah, perfect. A little quiet there.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and this is going to be in order of how they released.
Okay, so we're going yearly, right? Like just like down the timeline from January to July.
December. We're not talking about every game, but we're talking about a lot of the notable
big
releases.
Ones.
The biggies.
The big boys.
I'm on the thing, so you're going to have to keep track of the chat.
Yeah, I got it.
Eric, the first game that I would say was a notable release in 2019 was Slay the Spire.
This game, I don't remember at all.
You don't know anything about it?
I'm going to click the link, yeah.
So it's like a roguelite card builder.
Oh, I do remember this game now, yeah.
So I think that's interesting. The thing that sucked when it came out was that it was not on Switch yet, which was the only way I was going to play this game.
Uh-huh.
And it came out like last month. And I've been thinking about it a lot because it's only $25 and whatever. That's fine. And I think that this game sounds like a lot of fun. I like card games, stuff like that. And I think I brought it up because I'm interested to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I have zero. There's no chance this game's ending up anywhere on anyone's game of the year list.
Oh no, I don't think so. I remember, I believe Drew was the one who was talking about this game, right, telling us about it.
Yep.
And it sounds really interesting, but I'm not that big of a fan of like virtual card games. Like I can never get into like Gwent and The Witcher and stuff like
Hearthstone?
That.
Hearthstone?
I never really got into
Hearthstone.
Oh,
I was big
either.
Into Hearthstone in high school.
So,
because I played her in class.
This game probably not going to play by the end of the year. This game would have to be just dumb cheap, and I'll maybe buy it and then get it.
Fair. Resident Evil 2 Remake, January 25th.
Now, this is a game I am going to play eventually.
Yeah.
We'll probably do a stream for it and just dedicate a bunch of time to it because I really want to go through. I played the demo for this game. I played it on PC.
How was it? How to control?
It ran so well on PC.
Was it pretty?
It was so crispy. It looked beautiful. The lighting effects, like, I didn't play the original when it came out, but I played, like, the remake of it, you know? And just based, I played it when I was really young, and so just playing like the new one, and it's how they've been doing like with Crash Bandicoot, Spyro.
Yeah, it's a good remake.
Yeah, where they're making them look like how you remembered them,
yeah.
And I don't get how they do that. Like, did everyone just remember these games to look the same way, even though they all looked like shit?
Well, your imagination kind of you know, it's they're trying to figure out what you imagined, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a game that I desperately want to play. I don't like scary games, but I feel like Resident Evil is more of a action horror kind of thing. You know what I mean?
My thing is
more
that,
shooting, less running away.
Yeah, exactly. And so my thing is that I really want to play it on stream, but I also want to play it on PC. And so it's like I'd want to figure out a way for us to have it out here so we can both play.
Well, my other problem is that I want to play as well. So yeah. I guess we could do kind of a turn, you know, taking turns and such.
We could. The only problem is you'd have to use a mouse and keyboard.
Not gonna happen. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know how we'd do that too. Just because having you could kind of do it on the couch, but it'd be a little uncomfortable to play like that. Or you could like sit on the floor. I don't know. Because it'd be very easy to do. I could do a solo stream from my room. That'd be very easy. That's what my room set up.
I mean, you could do that. I could just play it as well.
Yeah, you could just watch the stream, participate that way.
Yeah. The next game. But basically, Resident Evil 2, I think...
That one has potential.
I feel like that game got a lot of buzz and was so apparently so good that I think that there is a real chance that it could win Game of the Year from a big outlet. My issue is that it is a remake, and I feel like people are going to be like, old game's old.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Can't qualify. But this game, there's
so
much
remade. I mean, I think it qualifies, right? I just don't think... I think that people are going to think about it like that, and then it's not... You know, it's not a new experience. It's an old experience made new.
Yeah.
Which, I mean...
I get it, yeah.
Maybe that's better, right? Like, maybe that's going to... It's going to appeal people already liked Resident Evil 2, and they're like, they did such a good job with this remake, it deserves it. But I don't know.
We'll find out. But that one, I have a feeling, is going to be on my top 10 list once I actually play it.
Oh, yeah. Once I actually play it, maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. This next game, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Couldn't care less about it.
Me either. I think that there's no way this ends up as a game of the year.
No.
Unless it's a one-person outlet and that person loves Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. I just think it didn't get that great of reviews when it came out, and it kind of just came and went. It's one of those games like people have been waiting years for, and then it came out, people talked about it for a week, and then that was it.
Even our good friend Adam, who is the biggest Kingdom Hearts fan I know, said the game was kind of booty. That's how he described it, I think.
Because, I mean, I remember like people saying it didn't like control well either,
and
things like that.
They said it reminded them of a PS2 game with PS4 graphics.
That's not Game of the Year qualifications in 2019, you know?
I'm not going to play it, and I don't think there's a chance.
I know nothing about Kingdom Hearts, and there's nothing anyone could do to make me play that game.
I actually played Kingdom Hearts 1 all the way to the end, and I couldn't beat the final boss. And I didn't enjoy it. I just did it because I was like, oh, I heard Kingdom Hearts 2 is so good, and I couldn't even make it.
So you didn't even play it because of the boss sect?
Yeah, I was like, I'm done with this. This next game was a game that I was like, that game came out this year. This is for real?
Mm-hmm.
Apex Legends, February 4th.
So this one isn't one of the ones to me that was like, oh, shit, this game
really?
Is this year. Yeah, because I played this game a lot when it first came out, and then because it was free to play, which is always the great move.
So you just
jump in. And then I'm also on the subreddit, so even though like right now I'm not playing it a lot, I still see all the news, like the stuff about the characters and things like that.
I mean, I'd say it's still popping.
Yeah, it's still, I think, doing really well for itself, so... This one isn't the ones where I was like, dang, this came out this year. But yeah, because I remember it just being like a hot drop and then just playing it a bunch. So,
oh, yeah. The next game on the list, another one that I'm like, wow, that was this year. Tetris 99.
Greatest battle royale game ever made.
Honestly, the best battle royale game I've played. Because I'm not a battle royale dude. I really never got super into Fortnite. I liked Apex Legends. I guess I kind of was doing something while we were talking about Apex Legends. I don't think that game... I think that game will win, like, multiplayer game of the year. Stuff like that. I don't think it's
going to win.
Yeah,
it's not
going to
win the game of the year.
Because it doesn't... Apex Legends doesn't have, like, Overwatch status to me, right? Like, you know how that kind of was, like... Everyone was like, Overwatch is... Everyone's talking about it. That is, like, the game of the year, right?
Yeah.
That year.
Mm-hmm.
Apex Legends doesn't seem to have that kind of mind share. I mean, it's huge, right? It's a huge phenomenon. Everyone's playing it. They're making a lot of money. It's dope from what I played. I just don't think that... I don't think it has that kind of, like, that pull, you know?
Yeah. That Overwatch had.
So Tetris 99, I'm not a battle royale guy, but I love Tetris, and I thought this idea was dope. I think it will end up on my game of the year list. I played it, like, this is one of the games that I played the most in, like, the shortest amount of time, because we jump in before, like, class and in between class
and just trying to get the number one spot.
So I think a lot of people are gonna be like, I don't think it it stayed as long as it needed to kind of cement its status like that.
Well, the thing, especially with Battle Royales, is like Apex or Fortnite, they update each week and you get new content and things like that with them.
Yeah. But
like Tetris, the game's there. There's nothing to update. There's nothing to add. You just it's Tetris. Like, it's that's just all Tetris. It is. So,
but that's great
just,
as well.
Yeah, it just didn't have like the staying power to constantly in the news cycle of like, oh, new update comes to Tetris 99. It's like it doesn't have that. But I really enjoyed it. It will be probably on my list by the end of the year, but it's at the bottom, I think, because there's just like November, we're gonna get crushed with games, right?
Yeah.
And so like, if it manages to stay on the list, that'll be pretty impressive. I think.
I think it will be on my list, but it'll be pretty low because I never fucking won.
And that's true too. I never won. I mean, I can still picture, like, I don't know, if once school starts again and I have like an hour between classes and don't want to jump into something, I can see myself getting back into Tetris 99.
Oh yeah.
And just trying to go for the W. But now the problem is the only people playing Tetris 99 are the people that are gods.
The hardcore Tetris kids.
So it's going to be even harder now to get to the number one spot. Because, I mean, once you get past top 10 in that game, it starts going so fast.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You can't even fucking blink because you have to just be seeing where you need to move the blocks, how to spin them. Crazy. What a good game.
Dope. So this next game, Metro Exodus, February 15th.
So this is a game I heard tons of people talking about it when it came out. But I just never played it. People love the Metro, like, storylines and stuff. But I don't know. For some reason, I just didn't try it. It looks beautiful on PC, though.
And I've even heard good things recently. I was listening to Kotaku Split Screen. Kirk Hamilton was talking about how he just played it. I put this on here, A, because it was big and everyone was talking about it at the time. But I might actually play this game because it's on Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
so
there you go.
It's like, why not, right? I don't know. So I feel like if I have some time, which isn't likely... I would consider jumping in. I've been looking for a good shooter to play, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's, like, story-driven kind of stuff like that. I feel like I'd like this game.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like a sequel. I think it's the third one in the series.
Yep, the third.
Yeah, so that's, like, I don't know how much, like, you need to know of the story or if you can just jump in. So, that's, like, the only thing really keeping me away. That and time, but...
What's the chance... Do you think this game has any chance of being in anyone's list?
I don't think it's going to be a contender. Like, it's definitely not going to be, like, at the Game Awards. I don't think it'll be a nominee. I think it just... It kind of came and went. Usually, for, like, certain games, like, you'll have people, like, constantly bringing them up in these kind of, like, arguments.
Yeah.
And I just don't see... It doesn't... I haven't seen it get brought up that much. Other than when it was, like, the few weeks, like, around its release window, you know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
There's no one out there right now, like, talking about Metro Exodus. That's the only thing. The only reason I think it wouldn't make the list.
For sure. I also feel like these games in the kind of first half of the year are disadvantaged a little bit by like, you know, I mean, it's pretty easy to forget about something you play in January, February, that kind of stuff.
And I feel like Resident Evil 2 only has the advantage because it's Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, and it was phenomenal apparently.
Yeah.
This next one, more of a notable release.
Yeah.
Anthem.
So, obviously not going to make any Game of the Years, because this game came out to a very overhyped audience, and they were just extremely disappointed.
Well, and there was a lot of legitimate issues with the game, apparently.
The game actually just had tons of bugs and tons of issues, and then they kind of just let it die out. The developers stopped, like, releasing their updates, stopped, like, communicating with the audience.
I mean, it's still going. There's still an audience there, and apparently there's, like, a lot of shit going on now.
Yeah, and so I think it was either last week or the week before that they just dropped, a stealth kind of dropped, like, an event or something. I forgot what it was specifically that they added, but it seems kind of weird because, like, when your game's dying and doesn't have that large of a player base, you can't really stealth drop stuff. So, like, Bungie stealth drops stuff for Destiny all the time. But Destiny has a huge and very active player base that's constantly going around looking for secrets because Bungie's known to drop these secrets. And so with EA just dropping this thing for Anthem, it just seemed really weird because it's like you don't really have that many people in.
Don't know that. I mean, I feel like...
We do kind of know
Anthem
that.
Anthem strikes me as a game that has kind of like a silent audience.
Yeah.
Like, I bet there's a lot of people still playing that are, like, just not talking about
it. I think it's still really small. I think you could have maybe brought tons of more people back in that maybe liked Anthem and were just waiting for more content to be added. if you would have been like, hey, there's this thing, and not just kind of put it in the game. And yeah. You could have hyped
it up. I mean,
I
can't say they didn't do that, because I don't follow any of this shit.
Well, I don't know. I don't follow it that close. I used to be on the subreddit, but I unfollowed it because it's just people complaining about the game. And so I'm like, I don't play this game, and so I don't need to just see people complaining about it. Anyway, yeah, that's all I could complain about Anthem, a game I don't play all the time, so we can move on.
Fair enough. We're going to move on. I think there's no chance.
There's no chance.
Anthem's ending up nowhere on that list. I think it will end up as the biggest flop of the year. Not in the sense that, like...
Yeah, not like, money, but like,
not money flop, but like cultural flop. Mm-hmm, like sure. People that it's kind of tainted at this point, right?
Yeah.
Next game's Ape Out.
Man, what a good game.
Yeah.
What a, the indie darlings of this year for sure.
Ape Out is so good, dude. I remember, and we both kind of played it at the same time, right? We were on that trip to Baltimore. And I have, like, such fond memories, even though at the time I feel like I was really frustrated because it's, like, it's kind of tough, man.
Yeah,
right?
It's a hard game.
It's a pretty hard game, but, like, the audio is so good. The soundtrack is, like, fucking so cool.
Yeah.
And it's so dynamic and, like, sweet, and the art style's awesome, and it's, like, actually, it's super simple, but it's a lot of fun to play. Yeah. I like, have very fond memories of that game.
It's, like, the perfect length, too. Like, it's long enough to where you feel like you get your $15 worth.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
But
it doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it doesn't just keep getting harder and harder when you want to just beat your head against the wall. I think it ends, like, perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, if you were good at the game, you could beat it very quickly. But I was bad. I feel like it took me, I don't know, 7 hours probably? Six, 7 hours?
Yeah, I think about six. Yeah.
Yeah, probably about six. And I really enjoyed it, man.
It just, and they do the, like, just good game design, introducing elements at, like, the right point.
Oh, yeah.
And then just the hits with the music cues are so good, and you get that free percussive jazz going the whole time. And it's, like, it's just a game that you must play with headphones, otherwise I feel like it ruins the experience.
Here's
the thing.
It's like
you're just playing it on, like, silent.
Ape Out is fantastic, and it's going to end up on a list of my favorite game of the year.
Yeah.
Ape Out is not the type of game that will win Game of the Year.
No.
It's too short. It's not... There's no story. Like, it's...
Well, there's kind of a story. You're an ape that's escaped.
Well, yeah, but I just meant, like, there's... You know, it's not like an emotional experience, right? I feel like the Game of the Year are... There are two types of Game of the Year to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they are giant cultural phenomenon, Overwatch. A.k.a. Overwatch, Fortnite kind of things.
Yeah.
Or, like... crazy emotional narrative, right?
Last of Us,
God of War.
Yeah.
And I feel like those are kind of the camps, right? Mm-hmm. And Ape Out doesn't really fall into any of them. It has a very good chance of winning Indie Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah, I think
Or Best Soundtrack, or something like that.
It's great that in this year, though, like, we can't even with confidence say that we'll win that, because there's just so many good indie
games
this year.
Music, I feel like game music is better than it has ever been.
Yeah.
Like, people are making crazy soundtracks that I would, like, I just listen to.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Like, the Celeste soundtrack is so good. Oh, my God. Even Moonlighter, which I think we'll get to, has just a great soundtrack.
Oh, shit. I actually think I forgot to put Moonlighter on it.
Actually, no. I think Moonlight came out last year. It just came out this year on Switch.
Oh, yeah. So that doesn't really count.
Yeah, so that's...
I was going to say, because Moonlighter is...
Yeah, it came out on PC last year.
It's been new.
Yeah.
The next game is a game very close to my heart. And that is Baba Is You.
Yeah, so I didn't play this one, so this is all you.
Yeah, okay, so Baba Is You, I feel like a lot of people are probably familiar by now. It's this, like, top-down puzzle game where you're playing this little sheep, and the way that you play the game is by manipulating all of these conditions. So the very simple way to describe it is the screen, it says, Baba Is You, and there's another little thing that says, Rock Is Push. If you go over and you push the rock thing and then you replace Baba with rock, now it reads Rock Is You and you are the rock. And
I'd love to be the rock.
Yeah. So you are Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson just shows up in this game. It's amazing they got him to
And so you're trying to manipulate these conditions of the level so that you can win. So usually there's a win condition, right?
Yeah.
Flag is win. You need to get to the flag.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something stopping you, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just all of this, and it's such a wonderful game, and it's huge, dude. This game's giant. Like, it's got, like, Mario Worlds kind of things, where it's, like, each world kind of has a different, like, theme, and there's, like, a ton of them. I haven't actually beaten this game yet, but I played it, like, I don't know, man, 15 hours probably.
Dang, yeah.
So I mean, some of that's just me fucking staring at a screen, yeah, like I don't know what's going on.
But I mean, that counts as playing. It's a puzzle game. That's what playing a puzzle game is like.
It's this game has like a real chance for me because it doesn't fall into, you know, huge cultural phenomenon like multiplayer or like crazy emotional narrative, but it's like this dude invented a new way to play a game, right? Mm. Like this isn't, you, games aren't played like this, right? Yeah. There are sets of conditions that we understand in games, and you use those conditions to beat the level, right? Mm. And in this game, you're manipulating the conditions, right? You are changing the way that you play the game so that you can win, which is kind of ingenious and fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's like in those terms, like that's what like next gen experiences are, is where like we see different people doing things like with actual game design and not just upscaled graphics and stuff. Yeah, like that.
I said he, but I actually don't. I don't know if this was one. I know there's kind of a guy who's like
the face,
but I actually don't know if it was just him. Okay. So I rescind that comment. All
right.
The people who made this game, yeah, man, I think this has a real chance. If it is not number one on my list, it will be pretty close, and I need to beat it. I feel like that's one of my goals for the end of the year is to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really good about not looking up how to beat things. Yeah. I did for like a couple levels, I think, where I was totally stuck. I could not do anything. And I was like, I just want to move on so I can do other things.
Mm-hmm.
But the game kind of, you have to like learn the fundamentals, right? So it does this really good job of teaching you the mechanics and making you think about them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does that where it teaches you something and then it kind of, you have to flip what you know already. I don't know. So Baba Is You is fantastic. If you haven't played it, you should play it. And just the fact that I'm like raving about it this much means that I think this game has real potential for me. I don't think that there is a chance Baba Is You will be on any big game of the year. It will not be a game of the year contender.
Do you think like it'll be one of the indie nominees?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think Baba Is You is a top contender for indie game of the year.
Okay.
And I think that a lot of people put it personally on their list because I feel like this game clicked with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also see it like it's pretty hard. It's a puzzle game. I could see it not clicking with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that. This next game, All You, Satisfactory.
Man, the same way that I feel like you talk about Baba Is You so much, I feel like I talk about Satisfactory so much. And so this game is only, it's in early access right now. So unless it releases like in before October, I think, or some, I forgot what the release window is for like the game show, but like it has to release before a certain point.
For the Game Awards.
Yeah, for the Game Awards. So I don't know if they've announced an official release date.
I counted it because I don't know, man. Early access like is a fucking game, right? Like,
yeah. So exactly. So this, I think, will make my personal list for sure, man. This is a game I went so deep down the rabbit hole for of just nerdy shit. Like, I don't like math at all. I'm not a math person. I'm a fucking English major, pretty much. And so the fact that I just got so nerdy into the percents and just getting my output perfect and to maximize my efficiency at everything was just, like, blew me away. And it makes me really question my type of games I like, because this is the shit I like.
Yeah, you like all the organizing, optimizing kind of shit.
Yeah, like this game is, there's not really any story to it. It's all just about optimization, right? And so like I just go, I either put on a podcast or music, and I just go, and you highlight your map, you find resources, you go connect a miner, and then you just start upgrading your stuff to be more and more efficient. You start wiring your things, wiring conveyor belts to different things. You end up making rigs, so six things go into two things, so those two things output in better. And obviously, this is how I get every time I talk about Satisfactory. Yeah. Your eyes glaze over, and you're like, just stop talking already. But yeah, this game will make my list for sure. And I haven't been playing it for a while, and I'm really looking forward to when I'll jump back in, because I do keep up with this game a lot. I'm also on this one's subreddit, and I just keep seeing updates rolling out. Coffee Stain Studios is the people that make this game, and they do a great job up like keeping it up to date. Their social media manager is hilarious. He puts out these awesome YouTube videos on their YouTube channel about like the updates and stuff. And so when I jump back into it, I'm just going to have like basically a whole another half of the game that I haven't even seen yet. And there's like trains now and other resources you can get into. So I'm really looking forward to it when I'll jump back in, because there's just going to be so much more.
And so as we talked about, we're not even sure this game can qualify for Game of the Year for a lot of places. So that's not, and I don't think it, I don't, I mean, I don't, I'm sure a lot of people don't even know this game exists.
Yeah.
So my guess is a no. But this is going to go on my anti-games of the year, because I'm fucking sick of hearing you talk about it. And yeah, I don't care, man. This next one, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, March 22nd.
Man, what a game I wish I beat.
What a game I wish I was good at.
This game has obvious potential. People love this game. I think it'll definitely be a nominee. But it just doesn't even make my list. This is the game that I realized maybe I don't like hard games.
Yeah. I loved what I played of Sekiro, and then I just got to a point where I was like, I just feel like I'm banging my head against the wall and not in a way that I'm enjoying, right?
Yeah.
And Adam always gives me shit, because he's like, dude, you're actually doing really well. Like, I had gotten past a bunch of stuff. He's like, it took me longer to do that. Like, you're doing well. You just need to, like, get into the... you have to like commit, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just not that kind of person, right?
Yeah.
And so I wish, dude, I maybe at some point in my fucking life I will like actually decide to beat a Souls game or whatever, Soulsborne, but it's probably not gonna happen. And I think that that is the reason that this game will not have any chance of being an actual game of the year, because these games are very divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that for the same reason that people love them, it's the same reason that a lot of people despise them. Or they don't despise them. They just, you know what I mean? They're not for them.
Yeah.
And exactly. So I think that there is very little chance that this will end up being a game of the year at a big, you know, whatever. Yeah, not for us, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not making it. My thing was, I really loved the world and the story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the narrative of the game. It's just when you hit a... it's boss pacing, maybe just in the beginning, I thought wasn't good. That's what hit me out of it.
Yeah, because especially when you beat the ogre guy.
Yeah.
And then there's like the bull kind of right at, or no, actually after the dude on the horse, there's the bull like literally right
after. Yeah, literally right after. And so it felt like I just kept hitting a wall and I wasn't ever making progress, and that's pretty much why I stopped. Like, this game, it might be a game that, like, maybe if I'm itching to play it, I'll just go watch a Let's Play on YouTube. Just because I would like to see the story and see the rest of it out.
Watching other people play is fun because they're good at it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, I can't go through and just keep fighting the boss. Especially now, because I'd have to start over, you know.
Although, I had thought about it for, like, 5 seconds, that would kind of be a fun stream game.
Yeah.
Because people seem to like watching us die repeatedly. And I feel like that'd be kind of where it's like, oh, people are, oh, do this, right? Like, I think that actually might be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what the other thing I was thinking about, too, is, like, I don't like hard games, but I'll sit and play a Mario Maker level for 75 hours and just not beat it. But I like doing that more than I like just facing a boss, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like just in Mario Maker, it maybe feels more fair. Like, you don't have to worry about... It's if you make a mistake, it's your fault, right?
Well, if you make a mistake in Sekiro, I'd say it's probably your fault.
Yeah, that's true. It is pretty tight. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is there that makes me like playing a level in Mario Maker more
than
playing it, just playing a boss over and over.
Yeah, I mean, Sekiro, like we said, a game that I wish I'd love.
Oh, you know what I think it is? Is because in Mario Maker, you start over right away. It's quick. Wherein is Sekiro, you have to get back up to the boss again. You have to go through a bunch of enemies.
I mean, it's better in this one, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, there's usually kind of like a... there's usually like a pretty quick path you can take.
Yeah, there's a quick path and then there's a path through the enemies. So it is much better, but it's still... it's much nicer to just die, go again, die, go again. Instead of die... start over, get all the way to the back, and then die, do that again, you know?
I think there's a good chance that this could take, like, a best action game of the year.
Yeah.
That feels like it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
This next one, again, all you, Risk of Rain 2.
Man, so another game in early access right now. And much like Satisfactory, the team behind it, I forgot the name of these developers, but the team behind it does great with just communicating and like letting the audience know like when updates are coming and like what's coming.
This is like a roguelite kind of thing, right?
Yeah, this is a roguelite. You go through, you collect items throughout the world that will power up your character, and it's all time-based, so as you play longer, the game keeps getting harder and harder and harder, and so you'll get more enemies, tougher enemies, and stuff like that, but you're also upgrading your character as you play, and so that you're basically competing against the clock, so you want to keep upgrading your character so the enemies don't get more powerful than you.
Okay.
And so there's several different characters you can choose from. They all play a little bit different from each other. And you go through, and you have to beat a boss at the end of each level, and then that's how you progress to the next level. And every time you progress a level, the difficulty spike jumps further up. That way it increases faster and faster.
So I don't really know. This is a PC game. I'm not a PC guy.
Come to Switch.
Is this game popping? I don't know.
I don't know how much it's popping in like a mainstream audience. I know the people that play this game are hardcore players and love it. So, but out of the core audience that this game has, I don't know how much people are gonna play it. I doubt it'll even have a mention until it's on Switch. I don't think people are gonna notice this game until it comes to Switch.
Okay.
So it'll be maybe a Game of the Year contender next year if it comes on Switch next year.
Maybe. This next one, again, not even totally sure it qualifies, but I put it on here. Dreams.
Yeah, so
obviously neither
weird.
Of us have ever played it.
Yeah, so this one's out, but not out.
It's a beta.
Kind of. It's in a beta, and it's an open beta? That's
no,
kind of closed.
No, we have to pay.
Yeah, it's a beta you pay for, which is weird.
So it's kind of early access. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of early access, but it's on PlayStation, and they don't usually have early access. Anyway... looks interesting. I don't think anyone's going to be talking about
it. Do you want to play it before the year's done?
I'd like to play it when it's out or like has an official release, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really want to jump into the beta.
I'm so like interested in this game, though. I'm not a super creator guy. Like, I'm not in that way, right? I don't like to design games or anything. You know what I mean? I don't really play with like level builders or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm so like enthralled with the idea of these like this kind of like indie game maker kind of thing where I don't know, like, it's people making their own games, they're remaking things, like all the things that I've seen from Dreams are so amazing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like people like just recreating their favorite things like in Dreams, or they're making totally new things, and I love the fact that you can kind of specialize, right? You can just make models of things or whatever, and so I'm just so curious, and I think that if it was a full release or something, I feel like the beta thing kind of muddled it a little bit. Like, I feel like this game really would have been, like, kind of huge.
Yeah. If it just came out and, like, hey, we're out now.
Yeah. And so I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, cool, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe when it does come out, it will be that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not totally sure how I feel about that.
Yeah. I'm probably not. I'd probably get it, and much like you, I don't know how much I would mess around with the creator stuff.
But I'd love to do. I mean, like our Mario Maker kind
of
stuff,
and just go through and play people's levels and play through things people have created. Like, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm into that. I think that it's unlikely this will end up on a Game of the Year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't even know if it qualifies. Like,
yeah, sure. Not totally sure. Next game, Katana Zero, which is a game you didn't play.
I did not play it.
I played Katana Zero a lot. This is the only game I think ever that I have beaten, and within the same couple days, within the same week, I started again. I beat it immediately and went, oh, there's another ending, I'm gonna play it again.
Yeah.
And I loved the way this game played. It was like the right amount of, it felt super precise and like hard to me, and I'm bad, so it's like, it's pretty not crazy hard, but it felt so perfect for me specifically, and I loved the weird story they were trying to tell, and it didn't quite come together like the way I wanted it to, so like the payoff wasn't quite there, but it's clear there's like other things coming, like they're, you know, DLC and stuff like that, or a second game. I think they've already maybe announced DLC, and so I think this will end up on my list at least. I think there is a really good chance this could be indie game of the year.
Yeah, this is a game I'll probably play before the end of the year, just because you were talking about it so much.
I mean, it's short, too. Like, it's a pretty quick beat. I think I beat it all in, like, a day.
Yeah, it's basically, I'll just have to download it, and I'll probably beat it in, like, one playthrough, which will be fun.
Katana Zero is dope, though. I love that game. It's not, like, I don't really think it's doing anything that's, like, I don't know, crazy. They're not really, like, reinventing the wheel, but it does what it does really well, and it's got some, like, kind of fun quirks.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all a little drama. It's all a little like dramatic and stuff too. So it's, I don't know, but that's kind of how I just, how I feel. I think that game's dope. I think it will be on my list personally. I think that the chance of it being on any, it's not going to be game of the year. And that's the topic of the show, Eric. That's what we're fucking talking about. Next game, Days Gone.
Okay, I was looking at the list of like what's next, and just saw Days Gone, and I'm like, is it gonna be on people's list? I don't think so, just because people were complaining about this game so much, and yeah, how...
I would say this was more of a fumble,
yeah,
than a.
I don't know, like leading up to it, like people seemed so hyped because like they had that event, they had like industry people come play,
and it previewed really well, apparently. And
it, yeah, it previewed like. People were saying, like, this is, like, a video game game. Like, the video game mechanics that you think of when you think video games are this game, right? And, like, that sounded great to us. I remember we were talking about it. We, I think, had, like, a part in our show, like, back when we were doing, like, this is what we want right now. Just yeah. something
I remember saying, well, I'm gaming. So excited for Days Gone just so I can, like, you know, podcast, put that on, play the kill yeah. zombies.
Yeah, exactly. And then it came out and people were, like... just disappointed with it, and so that was kind of a bummer, but
yeah, I don't think this has any chance of being on a game of the year. Yeah. I don't think it's going to win any awards, but I'm actually really curious. I think this is a game that it's going to be. Sometimes I think about the game Rise. Remember Rise, Son of yeah. Rome? You didn't have an Xbox, but you've never had one.
No,
but Rise, Son of Rome was this Xbox launch title. And it came out and people were like, man, this game's kind of like actually whack. Like, you know, it's the combat's super samey. And they kind of built it up, right? It was kind of hyped a little bit because it was this Xbox launch title and it looked beautiful. It was this next gen game, but it played like not a next gen game, right?
Yeah.
And I picked it up because it was free or something. It was like, I don't remember. I got it somehow. Maybe it was like an Xbox Games with Gold thing. And I played through it. And one, it was way less short than people had mentioned. Like, I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, you can beat it like 4 hours. And I think I beat it in like 9.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it felt like a full game, and actually, I had a ton of fun with it. And it was like, wow! I actually like whenever I think about Rise, I have positive memories of playing that game. And I kind of feel like Days Gone is gonna be like that for me whenever I get around to it. If I get around to it, like I'll get it for, you know, free or for $10 or something, and then I'll play it and be like, wow, this game's like actually sweet. Like I think I really like this a lot, just because of, you know, what it is, and you're not paying a $60 price point, and you know, your hype has been.
Lowered.
You have no expectations going in, right?
Yeah.
And so there's really, you can only go up from here. So I totally understand where it's like people thought this was going to be something and it wasn't, and apparently had like a lot of weird bugs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually feel like this is going to be a game that people are like, wow, Days Gone's kind of underrated. I feel like that's going to be like a thing.
I can see that happening too, especially when it gets a lower price point and like people are playing it for $40, like, or 30 or whatever it ends up being. I feel like people would be like, yes, because I know it has like the cool mechanics of just the hordes of zombies that you can fight and stuff. So.
Yeah, no chance of it being a game of the year.
Oh no, no chance.
This next one is Mordhau, which is again maybe an early access game. Not totally sure. We talked about a little bit about this game and some of the issues it was having with toxicity and such like that. But it's
kind of that game. I'm like, why? I don't even remember.
It's like the medieval fighter.
Yeah,
this kind
is
of thing.
The one. Yeah. With there's horrible things people are saying in the
game. And I brought it up because I feel like this is one of the biggest games on PC right now, kind of. Like I feel, well, like...
Just because it's divisive, though, isn't
no,
it?
No. Like, a lot of people are playing it, I think.
Does it have a huge player base?
I'm pretty sure it does. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I'm like, I brought it up because I think it's pretty notable.
Yeah, it might be. I'm going to check.
You're going to check it out?
Yeah. What's the word I'm thinking of? Active players.
Yeah, active players, something like that.
Yeah. Here we go. Mordhau Steam Charts. They had a dip on July 23rd. What's the actual number? Okay, so right now, there's 6,175 people playing. Their all-time peak was 60,000 players playing at one.
Never
time.
Mind. That doesn't seem as crazy as I thought it was.
I think
it's because I'm not a PC
now.
Player, and so I see it on the internet, and I just assume that a lot of people are playing it.
Yeah, so back in May is when it reached its peak for people playing it.
So maybe. I don't know. Maybe this is a game of the year for someone. But I think
when did all the controversial stuff come out? Was that May?
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
Like, I thought we talked about it.
Yeah, like three podcasts ago.
Really? That was that short ago? Guess the game. Oh, whatever. Time's a flat circle.
Yeah. All right. Time is a flat circle. Eric Krause.
It seems like we talked about that forever ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna X this off. I'm gonna take this off the list because I guess I assumed that it was more notable than it is.
They've lost 5,000 players in the last 30 days, like active players.
Next game is A Plague Tale: Innocence. This is a game that I swear to God I will play before the year is over. And the only reason I haven't bought it yet is because it's kind of expensive and I'm kind of broke.
Which one is this?
This is that. It's a narrative game. It's got like the weird... It's kind of like a time frame that like people don't really make games in. It's like older time. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a narrative game. There's some combat. I've totally gone in like I don't know anything about it really.
Yeah, I have zero clue.
Because I brought it up because I've seen a lot of people buzzing and saying A Plague Tale is a must play this year.
This was basically like that game last year. What was it called that you like a lot with the weird audio effects, right?
Oh, Hellblade.
Yeah, this is basically like the
Hellblade. Yeah, it has Hellblade vibes for me. Yeah. And which was a game I love. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about this. This is the game I'm the most curious about this year. And like, I'm going into it kind of not expecting that it's going to blow me away, but I think it will. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. I'm not super pumped and hyped to play it, but I'm like really curious and I want to know what's up. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I think that there is a good chance that it could be like best story or something, or, you know, maybe a game of the year. Who knows?
Yeah. It hits that emotional aspect of game of the year, right?
Exactly. And so my concern is I feel like I haven't still seen people buzzing about it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come up again when we start having the game of the year talks. People will remember
about it later in the year.
So yeah, I'm going to play it soon. Like very soon.
For sure.
Next game, Rage 2.
Man, what a mediocre game.
Damn, Eric. People put their fucking heart and soul into this shit.
I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah. But.
This was the gamey game that we got instead of Days Gone.
You know what? I had fun playing Rage. I just sat back and put on a podcast and shot some shit.
I mean, I played on PC. The game controlled fantastic on mouse and keyboard. The story, I couldn't even tell you what was happening. Something about a war. But I heard this one dude was angry at a clone. But just there seemed such, like, lack of actual content in the game.
Well, it kind of makes sense now that there's this huge, like, it seems like there's a actual roadmap for content, and like, now there's like way more shit to do because they announced all that stuff at E3.
But I feel like all of it should have just been in the game.
Yeah, it felt Jesus Christ, it felt a little unfinished.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe that they're just getting pushed. Who's the publisher for Rage 2? Because that's Bethesda, isn't it?
Rage it's 2. A Bethesda. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Bethesda's so, a publisher. Yeah, it was made by the Mad Max people.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So maybe they were just trying to push to get it out, and so they had to cut some of the stuff that they announced later. We don't really know.
No, I really think it was that they were trying to do this weird single-player games-as-a-service thing, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you're going to like update this game regularly with new shit, and it... I guess it just didn't come out quick enough, or maybe they just weren't finished. I don't know. It just Rage 2 was like the biggest meh I've had, and not in a bad way. I really did have fun playing it, but it felt like I just played a game for 25 hours. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like I kind of just sunk 25 hours into this thing.
You felt every hour that you put into that game. There was so much weird with it too. Like the car combat was supposed to be such a big part of the game, and that was like the worst feeling shit in the game. Like, I was much rather just walk.
Yeah, don't even try to go off that road, man.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you couldn't... You're in this, like, wasteland, and you can't even leave the road with your car, like your car, because it drives, like, absolute garbage. Like, you're just slowing down a ton, and you're like, this is just lame. Plus, the cars don't even feel like you're going that fast, unless you're holding down boost, which only lasts a few seconds. So once I instantly got that helicopter, I never drove a car again.
Yeah,
I could just fly straight over everything and get to the fun parts, which was the combat.
Rage 2 will not be game of the year. But I will say, I think Rage 2 will be another game that it's like, it's going to have way more content down the road. People are going to pick it up for cheaper and cheaper. I think people are going to be like, wow, Rage 2 is actually pretty sweet. Like, it's going to be...
Yeah, at it's that like the point, game's in early access right now. Yeah. They're releasing updates, and then you'll have a full game.
That's what maybe. It feels like a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The next game is Were you ready?
I was just going to say, I'm probably not going to jump back in, even yeah. with the more content.
Let's stop bitching about Rage 2.
All right.
The next game is Outer Wilds.
A game I would love to finish, but probably never will.
A game that I am currently playing, and I've been that's what I've been playing when I have time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am kind of fully expecting this to be maybe my literal game of the year, like the game of the year.
Yeah, see, this game I know has potential to do that for me as well. But
you just need to play it, Eric.
I just need to play it. I need to jack your Xbox controller too, so I can play it.
On, well, I was like, thinking about that, and I'm not even totally sure because I have the OG Xbox One controller, which like the one that came with the console when it first came out, and I don't know if it has the right hookups, if that makes sense. Because I know they did like a soft reboot kind of thing of the Xbox One controller.
Yeah,
and I don't really remember what they changed.
Oh, I'll still plug in my PC.
It will.
I just need the cord, micro USB to USB.
Well, here's the problem, Eric. I need the Xbox One controller.
Only to beat Outer Wilds.
Yeah, that's true.
I should just buy one, but I want to buy a new keyboard, and I have no money.
That's fair. We'll figure that out. But Outer Wilds, I am fully expecting to be game of the year for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, it has that emotional resonance. I can feel where it's going, and I feel like it's going to do that for me. I've had a blast playing it. Every death is like this new... You learn this little morsel of information, mm-hmm. and you're doing this crazy It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fucking yarn thing.
Yeah.
And it's so dope. I love that so much. And you're going to all these amazing planets and this is insane solar system, and flying is so much fun, and like it's so funny because what you're doing in the game is not video game industry breaking things, right?
Yeah.
You're walking around, you're looking at stuff, you're flying a ship, right? All standard shit. But like you're not shooting anything. You're talking to people. Really, like it really is like Gone Home if the house was a fucking solar system, and it's so cool.
Yeah, and there are people there to talk to.
Yeah, and there are like a ton of people, and it's just, man, Outer Wilds is so fucking sweet, and I can't wait because I've heard the end is even better. Like I heard the end is like way better than the entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, we had our friend Bryce, who's been on the show before. He just beat it, and he was geeking out about it. Like, and he was like, "I just need someone to beat this game so I can actually talk about it." So, it makes me want to beat it, but there's one thing I'm very bad at. It's finishing things.
Yeah. I think we should try to speed through some of these ones because we've gone pretty long in the tooth here. We're literally like 50 minutes in and we're still talking about these.
Okay, yeah, we can skip. Well, some of these, we're starting to get the things we haven't played yet, so I think we'll go faster.
Yeah, okay, so Kate.
What was that?
I don't know, there were some car noises. Cadence of Hyrule, I brought it up because I want to play it. It's not going to be a game of the year. I think it'll be cool, though.
No, I'm probably not going to play it either.
My Friend Pedro, I played it, I loved it. I don't even think this is indie game of the year.
Really?
Yeah. It was fun. Like I had fun playing it, and it delivered on what it was trying to do. But it is. I mean, in terms of like cool indie games I played, it's like it's lower than Ape Out. It's lower than Baba's U. It's lower than Katana Zero.
Yeah, I could see that.
So My Friend Pedro, dope. Not going to be game of the year. Not going to be indie game of the year. The Sinking City.
I really want to play this one.
Me too. There was zero buzz about this game.
Yeah, this game came and went, I think, and. I was really looking forward to it. I like even all this stuff, but I'll try to play it before the end of the year. I'm interested like to see it for myself.
Me too. Super Mario Maker 2.
Game of the year. Unless I beat Outer Wilds and that shit does something to me, Super Mario Maker 2 is my game of the year now.
It is, Eric, you and I don't finish games, right?
No.
And we don't play games for super extended periods of time unless it's fucking Destiny for whatever. You know what I mean? Your games, your staples.
Yeah.
Mario Maker has become a staple of this channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of become a staple of our, like, of our life and our friendship.
Really,
you know what I mean?
It really has.
Like I feel like Super Mario Maker 2 is like for the foreseeable future a big part of like what I'm doing. And that's cool. And I didn't have that. I didn't own a Wii U. And so I feel like I haven't had that in a long time where I'm like, I feel like I'm part of this community, right?
Yeah,
and like
people are just making stuff for us.
And it's funny because I don't even own the game.
You don't even own it. It's only on my Switch. But man, this is the game that it just keeps giving. Like just today we got the update for you can now upload 64 levels.
Yeah, which is dope.
So great. That means Nintendo's supporting this. Hopefully Nintendo supports it even more and makes a bookmark site so that you could do things on mobile and I could also do stuff for our Twitch channel easier. Once we get that, it'll be golden. Like if Nintendo keeps supporting this game, I think can last literally forever. They ported over just to the next Switch, to the next Switch, to the next Switch. You could... People are hardcore into this, constantly making levels. We've gotten to the point where we've weeded out the people that weren't gonna stay, I think. Uh-huh. And so now you're just getting pretty good levels, and then every once in a while you'll find a level that was made by a 10-year-old and you're like, here's a thumbs up, keep trying.
Yeah,
this is one of the few levels I could beat.
So we're really close to this, and so I'm not totally sure how objective we can be about how the industry feels about Super Mario Maker 2, but people are still talking about it, and I know it's only been, you know,
a few weeks,
almost a month, right?
Yeah.
But it feels like it's got pretty. People are still writing about it. It feels like it's got lasting power. Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance if it keeps going like this. I don't know, man. I think there's a chance.
Yeah, this game, it's my personal game of the year right now. I very much don't see anything able to beat it out right now, unless like Death Stranding or Outer Wilds does just something to me.
Yeah. That's pretty much where we're gonna go off, because there are some other games on this list that we haven't played.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll end up on the game of the year list. My one question is, what is coming this year that you think could potentially be your game of the year? Like, you foresee
that could beat out Mario Maker?
Like, do you think it's gonna be something that you don't see coming? Like some weird shadow drop kind of thing? Or do you
I don't think it's going to be... The only thing right now that I can actually see beating it out is Doom Eternal.
I mean, there are a lot of games coming out this year that I think are up my alley. Control, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is straight up my alley. Yeah. I don't think there's a game, like, since God of War that feels more up my alley. Mm-hmm. If that game's good, I think that I'm going to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And Death Stranding, I mean, who knows, man? Like, we don't know,
right? I don't fucking know anything about that game.
Like, so that game could be... That's, like, kind of the exciting part, right?
My thing... So here's what we do know, is that Death Stranding is being made by Kojima, and Kojima games are always so weird.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be divisive, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think Death Stranding has the potential to be my game of the year. It'll probably be really fun. I'm hoping I'll enjoy it, but I know it's gonna
be super
weird.
Fun's not the word
weird.
I'm thinking of. I think weird's the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's probably not gonna be fun, honestly. It's gonna be me questioning everything that's happening the whole time and just wishing that Metal Gear Solid 5 was just that intro continued over. Man, that game would have been so good if it was just in the hospital the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of really interesting. I mean, Link's Awakening, I'm so excited for.
That game looks awesome too.
Pokemon, like, I don't know, none of these feel they all feel like games I'm gonna really like. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's so hard to tell, right? But I think that all of those have the potential.
Exactly. But like, for me, Doom Eternal, just, I know I'm gonna love that game. It's just gonna be more Doom, and I love the first Doom, so like, I as long as the guns are like insane, like if the guns end up being boring in that game, like that's the only thing I can see going wrong, because they've already gotten the combat nailed down and it's so tight. So it's just like, I know that game's gonna be so fun and it's gonna look gorgeous on my PC when I play it.
Well, we will see. I will wager a bet that the game of the year for the Game Awards, at least, will be a first half of the year game.
Oh, okay. Really?
That's my bet.
Okay.
I just feel I'm really excited. We have so many good. Yeah, I think that every game, like, I think that
Q2 is kind of weak, though.
I think that it will be a game that we talked about today. That's kind of my, I don't know. I feel like the Outer Worlds, like, is, or the Outer Wilds, I meant.
Yeah.
I think that it will, I really think that's going to end up shaping up to be the game of the year. I really think it will. Because even now, people are buzzing about it, saying, like, it's kind of reverberating a little bit.
Yeah. But we have the Outer Worlds, we have Link's Awakening.
We'll see, man. None of those feel, none of those feel like game of the years. They just don't feel like it.
Doom Eternal feels like a game of the year to me. Outer Worlds feels like a game to me for sure. A big open world RPG. People love that shit. Death Stranding? I don't even know. I don't know. But Outer Wilds does have... I do agree with you that that is a competitor.
Eric, let's move on to the news.
Okay.
In the news. Hell yeah. This first one comes from GameSpot. And it comes from Eddie. How did we determine? I don't know how to say this man's last name.
Didn't you say like McCooch or McCuck?
McCutch. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Eddie McCutch. Digital games are popular, so GameStop must die. That's not true, exec says. So basically the point is that he did this interview with GameStop's an executive from GameStop, and the guy from GameStop's talking about what GameStop is doing to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've had their stock is at an all-time low. They just kind of got rid of ThinkGeek. They're still selling all of that stuff, but like ThinkGeek as like an entity doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
Digital is quickly upon us, going to be upon us, right? Good. So GameStop
join
seems
the digital
to be
feature.
GameStop seems to be kind of on its last legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about how they are like ready to lean into the things that they're good at, you know, games and collectibles, or collectibles and you know, that apparel, that kind of stuff. And they're talking about opening stores that are like retro only, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure how well that's going to do. I don't know. It will be interesting to see. But I just thought this was interesting because everyone's been talking about GameStop is like going to die soon, right? They're,
yeah,
you know, huge, seeing huge losses in revenue, all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
So obviously I've always been talking about how digital downloads are the way of the future. That's the only way I pay for my games anymore is just digital, and I can download them. I always have them. I don't technically own anything anymore, but I don't really care. So I'm not surprised that, like, I mean, the first pull quote on this is physical software is being distributed with digital, therefore GameStop is dead. I mean, if you go to some stores now, you just get a code in your box. Like, you buy the box, but then they have just the codes for downloading, depending
where?
On the game. It depends. Like, if you're buying, like, a big AAA game, but, like, if you go to a store and, like, buy, like, an indie game or something, like, it doesn't actually have a physical disc, right? Because
yeah,
they're
just
a small
codes.
Indie studio. They can't actually manufacture discs, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if at one point PlayStation or Microsoft is just like, okay, we're done distributing discs. Now you just go and buy a code in a box if you want the case, if you're a collector like that. And so you get stuff like that. Them going to being basically an apparel store, I think, is a good idea. Although you're just going to start running into them becoming a hot topic for game stuff, which if they have good game merch, I'd be happy to buy, because nowhere sells good game merch right now.
No one
right?
has good game merch.
Yeah.
I've talked about this for so long.
Yeah.
Hire me. I can't do the graphic design, but I will approve it.
You'll sell if it's good.
I just get to be the guy who says yes or throws the thing in the fire.
Like, Insert Coin is like the only place with good gaming merch right now.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more. If anyone else knows any more like sweet gaming, like, you know, they kind of have that like cool low key style. I wanted more shit like that.
Yeah, subtlety, like, because you don't want to seem like a huge nerd.
Yeah,
but
you
want
be a cool
someone
nerd.
Who knows who else is a nerd and could recognize that you're a nerd.
Yeah, you get to be part of like the cool nerd club.
Yeah.
He mentions wanting GameStop to be like, he uses a weird analogy about gaming, like a gaming mecca, so mm-hmm. or like a gaming, you know what I mean, a gaming church, right? Like where you go because of the culture and because of the people and all that stuff, and you're getting to hear about the coolest games, right, from the people who are selling them. And I saw this interesting thread that was talking about all of the things that GameStop like should have done. Because mm-hmm. the big thing with GameStop is they've kind of stuck to their guns on this, like, this is how we do things. And they weren't very forward thinking in, like, how are we going to stay relevant, right? And one of the things I saw was talking about, like, making employees the tastemakers. Like, mm-hmm. giving them more, I don't know, agency to be like, this is what I've been playing, and like, you should play it too, right? Or, and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just and embracing digital and leaning more into selling digital codes and stuff, because it's still sweet to come and trade your games in and like, oh, I can get this game for cheaper, right? And like,
yeah,
that's how I still do it, because I'm poor, right? And so I don't know, I've always talked about, I want to see GameStop live. I that was the only place when I was young that I could go and like see all the cool nerd share. I lived in a small town. GameStop was a town over. I'd go there.
Yeah.
And so I just thought this was interesting because it comes from a different perspective than like, GameStop's gonna die. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yay. Right? Like,
yeah, exactly. My thing with it wanting to become like this mecca, though, is that the internet exists. And why would I go somewhere when I can just open up my laptop and talk to people?
Exactly.
About
no longer do I, you know, I can go to some fucking message board or something.
Yeah. I don't even have to get dressed. Like, I just lay in bed and fucking do shit. Like,
it will be interesting. I have a lot of rewards points, so I would like to not see them die, you know?
I mean, it'd be cool if they kind of became a mainstream gaming lounge even.
Oh, I would love that, dude. GameStop gaming lounges, that'd be sweet. We don't have a gaming lounge here.
Yeah, I know. And we have a GameStop, though. So if, like, they became a gaming lounge and became less of this thing about going in and buying stuff and more about going in and playing stuff, that would be much better, I think.
Hell yeah. We will see. All good ideas. Eric, we're going to fix this. We're going to skip that one.
Okay. Joy-Cons are broken.
Yeah, Joy-Cons are broken. Nintendo's going to fix them for you. We've talked about the Switch the last three episodes.
Probably more than that.
And we're running out of time. This one comes from IGN's Alyssa Judge. Hollywood could give a fuck about casting Batista in Gears of War movie, says actor.
Says Dave Batista.
Yeah, says Dave Batista. Dave Batista basically tweeted... someone had tweeted him saying, like, please, you should play Marcus in Gears of War movie. And he's like, I would love to. I've brought it up a million times. They don't want me to for some reason. Mm. And so I just brought this up. I thought it was interesting because he's such a huge name. And I feel like he could bring... Dave Bautista is the kind of dude who I feel like can bring people to a movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's... I don't know. Like, he seems like
that. Got
that
Avengers money.
Yeah, he's a guardian of the galaxy. You know what I mean? Like, and he's this... He's a dude who I feel like could... He has that kind of pull. And he does really look like Marcus.
My big thing
is that when I first thought of that, apparently they've been trying to make a Gears of War movie since 2007.
Ah.
And it's not working out. And my guess is because Gears of War strikes me as a horrible movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be that good of a movie.
It already has this, like, dude bro kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And everyone kind of goes with it because the game's fun.
Yeah.
And it's a little corny and all that kind of stuff, right? But I'm thinking about that in a movie, and it sounds like something that I would not want to watch for 2 hours.
It gives me a lot of World of Warcraft vibes when I think about it.
Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did.
I did not.
I did not in theaters. Like, it was like on HBO or something. The thing about it is it's very weird for me to see Dave Bautista and him not be green.
or whatever color
Drax is.
He's like kind of a blue.
Because like the first picture, I'm like, that's what he really looks like. I'm like, oh, I've never really seen him that much without like all his makeup on. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't think I want a Gears of War movie to exist.
We don't need it. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it would be good. Just have
Listen, Detective Pikachu exists.
Yeah.
We're past bad video game movies.
Are we though? We only have one good one.
That's the thing. No one else needs to make anything until they can make something that was that good or better.
Okay, yeah.
We only can go up from here.
That's true. Well, we'll see how the Sonic movie
is. Well, no, I'm not saying we will go up from here. I'm saying we should only go up from here.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm like, I don't know if we will go up. We should, yes. That's how it should work. That's how the competition should work. But the Sonic movie was just stealth delayed another month, so.
Yeah. Well, who knows? They said they're redesigning the character. Maybe it'll turn out better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I have a feeling that movie is going to have more problems than that.
Yeah. I don't know how much of the problem with the Sonic movie was just how Sonic looked, you know?
Oh, yeah. All right, you want to move on?
Yeah.
We're really blowing through these, but that's okay.
Well, we're red late. Yeah.
This one comes from gamesindustry.biz, one James Batchelor. I'm not a huge fan of this headline. It's quote, if you're trying to make the game of the film, you're onto a loser, unquote. That's not even a sentence, I don't think.
Yeah, that's not a sentence.
So I don't like the headline, but I want to talk about this because he does this interview with Outright Games, this dude named Nick Button Brown. And Outright Games made this, they make, like, movie tie-ins. You know, think the old games we used to play, you know, the Madagascar game, or, you know what I mean, the Fantastic Four tie-ins, the bad IP tie-ins.
Incredibles video game.
Yeah, the Incredibles video game. But his studio kind of makes these, and apparently they released this How to Train Your Dragon game, and people are like, this game's kind of dope, actually. And so he talks about how everyone's kind of moved away from this market, right? People aren't making a lot of these movie tie-in games. They're not nearly as saturated as they used to be. And he says, like, it's actually a really good niche to live in because, you know, you make a fucking How to Train Your Dragon game, it's going to end up on the Walmart shelf for all the children to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their older brother has an Xbox and, you know, mom buys it for him or whatever.
Yeah.
Or my kid has a Switch. Or I have a Switch. My kid doesn't have a Switch. I have a Switch. And I see that game, and I'm like, well, this would be... They already love How to Train Your Dragon, right? And this could be, like, a good foray into games. And I just thought that was super interesting, right? Because we've already kind of looked past that, right? These kind of garbage games that used to be these movie tie-ins. I'm thinking the Fantastic Four game that Adam and I played a ton of.
Oh my god, yeah.
And it was bad, right? I mean, as far as I can remember, it was bad. We played a lot of it.
My brother and I didn't beat that game because it was so bad.
Adam and I almost beat it. We would have beaten it, but he deleted our save. That's, you know, what happens.
Yeah.
I'm still a little not over it. And so I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. Like, I just think that is really cool, right? That they're in this weird niche and they're making these little games that are maybe not crazy, right? They're not these crazy AAA experiences, but they're like, they're trying to take what they have and make the best of it, right? And maybe, you know, they have a little bit more freeway to like, or leeway to work with the people more. I feel like we're in a place where there's like, people understand a little bit more how games are made.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, maybe we start this project earlier and, you know, we start working on stuff earlier and we can get these better games out that'll get kids who maybe aren't totally into games into games. And I just, I don't know, I think that's cool because I used to play a ton of these because it was way easier to sell to my mom because they were always cheaper. And so instead of, you know, whatever fucking Mario game on the DS that was like, you know, $45, there was like, again, the shitty Madagascar game I bought for like 15.
Yeah.
And I played the game a ton and it was like fine. I don't know. I guess I enjoyed it. I guess I played it a bunch. But like, I don't know. It kept me playing games and it kept me, you know, playing my DS and then I could get to the Marios and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think I said stuff. Jesus, I cannot think today, Eric. It's been a really rough one. It's been a long
day. So with me and video game tie-ins to movies, there's only the two notable ones I can think of is that Fantastic Four one. And then the Incredibles game for GameCube that was a tie-in to the movie. And I played the crap out of the Incredibles one, but only one mission, and that was the Dash mission, where you miss the bus, right? And so Dash has to, like, run to school. Obviously, a super speeder, anyway. And so you have to, like, keep up with the bus, but you're, like, you can't pass it because it has to seem like you got off the bus, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, that mission was super fun just to kind of run through other cars. It reminds me a lot of how a phone game would be like right now, like a good mobile game that you, just kind of sucks you in. But that game just ended up going insanely difficult when you had to fight like the Sinestro stuff.
I actually kind of remember playing that game on the PS2, and I think that I beat it. I think. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I played a bunch of it, but just that mission because I enjoyed doing that mission. And then I played that Fantastic Four one because my brother and I got it, and it's a top down like beat 'em up, like
kind of like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance,
like Marvel Ultimate Alliance and like X-Men Legends, a game my brother and I played so much. And so like, sweet, now there's a Fantastic Four one, we could play that one. And then that game was just garbage, and Invisible Woman, that's I think her name, was just super OP in that game because you could go invisible and just run away from
yeah. Some. She had, like, a bubble shield or something, too.
Oh, yeah, you could pop a shield. Yeah. And so we never beat that game. We got, I think, like, halfway, and then maybe the save corrupted or something, so we just gave up, and we didn't like it enough to keep playing. I do want to say one last thing, that the art style for this Jumanji screenshot they pulled looks pretty. I like it. I like how it looks. Although they could have made the Rock's character look bigger, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm just saying, I think it's something to look out for. That's cool. I don't know, man. If the Jumanji game was fun, I think I'd probably play it. I don't know. That sounds fun.
I mean, I think it'd be funny to stream just this
How
to Train Your Dragon game.
Yeah, exactly.
We get a very niche audience for that.
Yeah. Eric, are you good to wrap up?
I am good to wrap up.
Everyone, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. If you're in the chat, right after this podcast, we are jumping into Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, so stay tuned. If you're not in the chat, please tune in next week when Robert Mueller comes on and we grill him about what he knows about Death Stranding. What do you know, Robert?